Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to you.
Perfect timing, sir.
Happy Brewers Outlet Day.
I was just going to say the same thing.
Happy Brewers Outlet Day. Great to be with you on the show today.
Yeah, I was just checking out some of the new beers that they have at Brewers Outlet. The Southern Tier Brewing Company, including Imperial Pumpkin, ale brewed with pumpkins. We're getting into that time of year, you know, with pumpkin coffee and pumpkin-flavored brew. So you can get a head start stocking up on the Southern Tier Brewing Company line now at Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
I love it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it goes with all the great imports, domestics, microbrews. And, if, you know, say, for example, you're in a mood for a wine cooler, water, soda. They have that, too. Snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is second to none. I will be making a stop there on my way to Cape Cod, as a matter of fact. How about that? Want to make sure I'm stocked up for vacation here. That's what I'm looking at.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, that's what I'm looking at. Yeah, I think a stock up. Charles Davis today. Greg Pickle today. Jason Rollison today. So we talk some baseball with Jason. Penn State football with Greg. College football with Charles. Now, that's how you get done. That's how you get done.
Mail it in Friday? No.
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 And then we're about 2.5 weeks away from what Penn Tavern. Right?
Monday the 22nd, Route 147 south of Sunbury. We'll be doing the show live, 3 to
yes.
5. Special guests locked in to be named later.
Yes, and a very special guest.
We're very excited.
A good friend of mine that I have incredible respect for. Can't wait. It's not a question I can't wait to have him on the show. I just can't wait to see him. So we're looking forward to it. The Olympics start tonight. Do we have to? Actually, let's be realistic about the Olympics here. For all the talk of the water problem, the Zika problem, the security problem, we're just viewers. It doesn't affect us. We get to sit back, watch, and enjoy. And I plan on watching and enjoying. Look, I'm going to go out and play some golf. I'm going to hit the ocean. Okay? You know, go out, have a couple casual meals, maybe one really great one, you know, but a couple casual meals. I mean, all family. You know, I'm talking about, you know, there's only one son that won't be there. And there's a really good reason why. That's because my daughter-in-law is due in 3 weeks. And we know it's a grandson. So that's the only reason they can't be there. people. We're going to have everybody else there for at least, everybody there for at least 3 days, most people there for the entire time. So that's what I'm looking forward to. And believe me, there is downtime to sit there and watch the Olympics if I want, or watch the Red Sox if I want. Either way. But yeah, I will catch some of the Olympics, believe me, when, you know, especially live. Phelps, Ledecky, Lochte. I mean, I'll watch. I've got time to watch. I've got time to enjoy it. What's the next big thing in my schedule? What time the beach opens? Yeah.
You could be on the beach next week and watching it on your iPhone if you want through the NBC Olympics app. That's your choice, if you'd want to.
I'm sorry. That's for the insane.
I know you won't watch TV on your phone. It's been duly noted for quite a while. But that option's there if you want it. Who knows? If you're on the beach, you want to watch, depending on the timing, if it's a big Phelps race or a Usain Bolt 100-yard dash qualifier, you know.
Oh, I assume he's going to qualify, for goodness sakes. I mean, these guys don't even, for goodness sakes, they barely swim fast enough to get there. Like, oh, yeah, fine, I'm conserving energy.
Or you may find breaking news, he didn't qualify, and if you're on the beach, you can pull it up on your phone.
You know. No, see, once I know, I don't really, it doesn't, once I know, it doesn't, I'm more excited that it is live and I don't know.
Yeah, the group there, you do have a group there that, yeah, if it's live and I miss it, it's just not the same watching a replay.
Yeah. Now, but I have an iPad. Now, see, I have watched things on my iPad, but it's bigger.
Sure.
It's bigger.
Mm-hmm. 9.7.
Yeah. 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 All right. The Rio Olympics. Here are the Rio Olympics by the numbers. Obviously, this is the first Olympics held in South America. There will be 306 medal events that will be held across 42 disciplines during the 19 days. You're like, 19 days? Remember, competition began Wednesday. Michael Phelps, Olympic record holder for medals with 22 and golds with 18. But it should be pointed out that he is not the individual record holder for most golds, I believe. Trying to think. I don't think he's the record holder for the most individual medals.
Number I heard with Phelps was 22.
Yeah, he's got 22 and 18, but that's not it. It's something else where he's one away. Let me see if I can find that for you here. Phelps is, okay, most career individual Olympic medals. Okay. Larisa Latinina from the Soviet Union won 14 individual Olympic medals. Phelps has won 13. Remember, he's, you know, he relays himself all over the place here. Okay? So he actually is one away from the individual medal record, tying it, two away from breaking it, holding it individually. Now, he has the most overall at 22, and she has 18. Most career Olympic golds, 18 Phelps, Carl Lewis 9, Mark Spitz 9, Larisa Latinini is 9, and the great flying Finn Paavo Nurmi is at 9. Four Olympic gold medals in an individual sport. Carl Lewis won the long jump in four consecutive Olympiads from 84 to 96. Al Order won the discus in four consecutive Olympiads from 56 to Mexico City in 68. Michael Phelps is going for his fourth gold in the 100-meter butterfly and the 200 IM. Now remember, too, you can win a medal just by swimming a preliminary in a relay. You know that, right? So, I mean, for the suit, this is how cheesy the Olympics are. You know, you do something right, yeah, you get a medal, too, here you go. And it's great. It's fabulous. Everybody gets a ribbon. No. Katie Ledecky. At the age of 15, she shocked everybody and won the 800-meter freestyle. 4 years later, she's the best swimmer in the world. She is undefeated in all 12 individual finals at major international meets. She is a huge favorite in the 400, huge favorite in the 800. She could also win a gold in the 200 free and the 4x200 free. Reportedly, she's going to also swim in the prelims of the 4x100 free. That way, if they win it, she gets a medal there too, even though she won't be swimming the final. Debbie Meyer in 68 is the only other one to accomplish this. The only American woman to win three individual swimming golds at a single Olympics, Janet Evans in 88, Debbie Meyer in 68, my good friend Jane Brown, who teaches here at Lamont Elementary School, Jane Brown. People in this town here in State College don't know it. She was Debbie Meyer's teammate in the 68 team in Mexico City, and Jane was on two of the relays and won two gold medals. There are a lot of people here in this town that don't, and here, that have no clue that Jane is a two-time Olympic gold medalist. Because she never talks about it. Never. Ryan Lochte, 11 Olympic medals. Missy Franklin. Remember the suit proclaimed her as the next breakout star? Now, 4 years later, no. Doggone suit.
I'm getting a daily Olympic text from him. I got one saying,
I know.
That's old news. You've been dealing with it for 5 years. But
here's mine from today. Wait a minute. Where's mine?
Was it about Seacrest hosting late night?
No.
As he said to me, he goes, I'm not watching that. And I go, what? You're not watching a portion of the Olympics? I can't believe it.
I like seeing your buddy Tirico covering the Olympics. That is a great win for NBC.
Sure is.
Oh, you know, Mike's just good at everything he does. See, that's one thing about Mike. Mike is good at everything he does. Okay? That's one of the things I respect about him. Bolt and Gatlin in track. This will be the final Olympics for Usain Bolt. He'll retire after the 2017 World Championships. He's the only sprinter to sweep the 100, 200, and 4x100 relay twice in 8 and 12. He can be the first ever to win the 100-meter gold three times. Carl Lewis is the only man to do it twice. He also can tie Carl Lewis and Paavo Nurmi for the most Olympic gold in track and field with 9. I'm excited. See, the difference between Bolt and Lewis is a great long jumper. So, in their careers, 100 meters, Lewis has 2 golds, Bolt has 2 golds. In the 200 meters, Lewis has a gold and a silver, Bolt has 2 golds. In the 4x100 relay, Lewis has 2 golds, Bolt has 2 golds. Lewis also has won 4 gold medals, though, in the long jump. Gatlin won gold in the 100 meter in 2004. He could be the third man ever to win the 100 meter twice with Bolt and Lewis. He's 34 years of age. He has lost to Bolt in 7 of their 8 100-meter finals. The only time he won was at the Golden Gala in Rome in September 2013. Amazing, huh? All-around champions in gymnastics. This is where Simone Biles comes in. She has won 3 straight world individual all-around titles. She is the first woman to ever do that. First woman to ever do that. She is now trying to join the illustrious list of women's all-around Olympic champions from the United States. Mary Lou Retton in 1984, Carly Patterson in 2004, Nastia Lukin in 2008, and Gabby Douglas in 2012. Basketball. The United States has won 14 of 18 gold medals, 14 of 17 in which they participated. The United States has won the last 2 gold medals in hoops. They've won by an average of 30 points per game. They've scored 100 points or better in 12 of 16 games. Remember, these are 40-minute games. The United States has China, Venezuela, Australia, Serbia, and France. Oh, boy. Odds of the United States winning the Olympic men's basketball gold medal. Oh, I don't know. How about 1 to 20? This is according to Westgate in Las Vegas. 1 to 20. Spain's 12 to 1. France 15 to 1. Venezuela 500 to 1.
Mike Krzyzewski's record as head coach, 80 and 1.
Yeah. Pretty good. Odds of the women winning the gold in basketball. 1 to 20 again. Australia 12 to 1. Spain 15 to 1. So there you go.
Yeah, I believe they start men's hoops. They start tomorrow. First opponent will be China.
They'll win that thing about, I don't know,
at least
let's say
40?
93 to 52. There we go. It's the one time that people really root for Carmelo Anthony. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. It's always great to talk with Dick in Milton. Hi, Dick. How are you today?
Steve, I wanted to make a comment that it seems to me there was more interest in the first Greek Olympics than there are in this Olympics. Am I misunderstanding this thing?
So far, so good. But you know what, Dick? I have a feeling in the end, the ratings, especially with live events, are going to be pretty good.
Well, I don't know. I just haven't seen. I told somebody, I think the girl from Ipanema has more interest in this Olympics. that's just me thinking about it. And I wanted to tell you that 15-minute synopsis you gave me the Olympic is the first time I've listened to any this year.
Well, there you go.
I
draw them in.
I knew they were being held in Brazil, and that's about all I knew about them this year.
Now you're ready.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Dick. That was good. We're brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet. Jason Rollison next to talk baseball.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, today we're brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Hey, gang, stock up. I'm coming in. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. New ones in, too. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, soda. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Plenty of snacks. And that pickle bar is second to none. I'm not going to go out without going to the pickle bar. Get me some dills. Get me some barrels. Love it. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for your weekend now. Some great specials between now and Tuesday as well. 1921. What set the tone for the career I have now? 1921, the first play-by-play broadcast of a baseball game was done by Harold Arlen of KDKA Radio in Pittsburgh. He described the action between the Pirates and the Phillies. I believe the Pirates won the game 8-5. 1960, the first time two Major League Baseball teams traded managers. The Tigers traded Jimmy Dykes to Cleveland for Joe Gordon. 1984, Toronto's Cliff Johnson set a major league record by hitting his 19th pinch hit home run in his career. And in 2013, Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig issued a 211-game suspension to Alex Rodriguez of the Yankees for possession of banned performance-enhancing drugs. The number of games was reduced to 162 by an arbitrator in January 2014. All right, so let's get to a little baseball talk. Still to come in the show, Greg Pickle will talk Penn State football at 4:06 today. Media day, first day of camp, second day of camp coming up this evening. And also Charles Davis on college football from Fox Sports. Let's now go to Jason Rollison. We'll talk a little bit about the Pirates organization. We talk about great prospects in the Phillies organization. Pirates have one in Austin Meadows. Meadows, I saw when he was at Jamestown, and I thought, wow, I could see it. He just played against State College again on a rehab assignment. I don't see it anymore. Where is he right now, Jason?
Well, I mean, if you believe the scouting reports, the various prospect sites that are out there, he's right on track. Kind of got a little snake bitten this year by injuries, some fluky, some not the orbital bone. is a fracture in his face causing him to have a slow start in the season. That probably affected him. And then coming up in AAA after 12 games, he had a tight hamstring. You may have noticed that this year when he started at Altoona, he had a very slow start. We were kind of scratching our heads wondering, you know, were we wrong about this guy? And then he rattled off that amazing hit streak, the 2016 hit streak and Altoona career record.
Right.
And went up to AAA and kind of struggled to get it acclimated fully. I mean, he didn't totally embarrass himself, but what I look for, particularly out of these prospects, is how they do when they promote to the next level. And if they do struggle with it, they can make a quick adjustment. And I truly feel he was on the way to making that adjustment. He told me over the weekend he was in town for the with the West Virginia Black Bears on a rehab assignment that he felt like he was fully acclimated, and that he's chomping at the bit to get back to AAA. So. And we'll have to see if he can turn it right back on.
Right. Well, I mean, and that's certainly is interesting. The Pirates are loaded with a lot of really good prospects up and down, and they've had to dip into it just a bit, which that's what every team's expected to do. I mean, you can't just keep them all down on the farm. At some point, you got to find out what they actually can or can't do. Where do you rate the strength of the Pirates system at this point? How strong is it overall?
I think in terms of starting pitching, of course, we can all pretty much agree that it's very strong. Taillon pretty much made the transition this year with a few lumps, but he's obviously got what it takes to be a major league pitcher for years to come. Tyler Glasnow, even with his control problems, I think he still has the raw stuff to be, you know, very much so a top-of-the-line major league pitcher. But then you have the second tier of guys like Stephen Brault, Chad Kuhl, who... Listen, can definitely get it done on a major league level as well. Maybe not to the degree that Taillon and Glasnow would be able to. But these guys are very serviceable at best and, you know, competent at worst. So I think they're going to be, in terms of starting pitching, the pipeline is right where you want it to be. Now, the positionally, it's a little thin behind Austin Meadows and Josh Bell. But when you look at the Pirates' knees, they've done very well to lock up some of the spots where they might be hurting. You know, they've locked up Josh Harrison, who could play all over the infield for a few years. They've got Young Ho Gong until, I believe, 2019. And they've got, you know, the first base cover with Bell. Cervelli now is extended, and Diaz is right behind him. So they've done a good job of building up what they thought to be their biggest weakness and then, you know, having a steady pipeline at a position of strength. I think the swing factor will be Ke'Bryan Hayes, the third baseman, working with WVU Power right now. Projected to be, you know, he's a top 10 prospect, projected to be a starting third baseman in the bigs, but going through some struggles and right now is injured. So that's going to be the one weak spot in the system as far as I see it. But overall, I consider the system to be very strong.
Right. What is it? Why not pull the trigger now on Josh Bell? They gave him a little bit of a cameo, but why send him back down? Because, no offense, I know John Jaso's on a major league level, but I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, John Jaso's been knocked in what I'm calling an epic summer swoon for it's a good 3 months now. Definitely not the player we saw in April, having a high on-base percentage and getting quality at bats. So, to more directly answer your question, your guess is as good as mine, Steve. I mean, the guy showed that he can hit major league pitching. The organization still holds the company line that his defense is suspect. I really don't see it. I mean, especially at first base. I mean, I think perhaps the scars of seeing Pedro Alvarez in that position has scared the team into being overly cautious. But at first base, if a guy can hit, you roll him out there, you take your chances. You can easily use Sean Rodriguez or David Freese as defensive replacements late in games. So I hope to see him soon. I think he'll definitely be here in September, of course. But he really should have been here by now.
Yeah. Look, a really good defensive first baseman does make a difference. I've always made this point about the Yankees for years, that during their great years and then when they weren't as great, then what helped them return to greatest. The Yankees had Tino Martinez at first. Fabulous defensive first baseman. Then considered to be, despite the big names that they had out there, considered to be a lousy defensive infield until, voila, Mark Teixeira showed up and suddenly everybody got better. So it does make a difference, but it's also a position you can teach. You know, you have to have some confidence in your major league guys that you can teach them as to how to play the spot. What about all the moves that made Liriano, trading Neil Walker for nobody, and then of course Melanson? Where do you think this leaves them right now?
It leaves them in a nebulous state of being pseudo contenders. You can look at the standings and see, yes, mathematically they may even have a puncher's chance, but it's
right now they're the Atlanta Hawks is what they are.
Yeah, that's a very good analogy. Middle of the pack, seemingly always. Look, the moves themselves, we can defend them individually, but overall I think that it's a thinly veiled punt on this year, but while still trying to justify that, maybe they are still in contention. Now, I will say that I do like the Melanson deals and the move to bring Antonio Bastardo back, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Next year, the Pirates will have three very capable left-handed major league relievers, and Antonio Bastardo, Tony Watson, of course, and now the newly acquired Felipe Rivero. That's pretty rare. I mean, you see a lot of times teams will have two quality left-handed relievers if they're lucky. So having three will give the Pirates a kind of a unique look to their bullpen, the rest of this year and into next year. And, that could be an edge. Clint Hurdle can play a little more matchup, be a little more methodical in his bullpen management. And, that could bring the bullpen back to being the absolute weapon that we saw the past couple of years.
Well, Bastardo, I thought, getting him, I think, actually was not a bad move. Melanson, they weren't going to re-sign anyway. So, I mean, why just ride that out? And believe me, down the road, because you've seen Taylor Hearn. You saw him up at Auburn, not this year, but a couple of years ago. I mean, when he's healthy, he's not healthy at the moment, he can flat out fling it.
Yeah, he can touch 100. Anytime you can add any prospect in your system that has that raw velocity, for a player, like you mentioned, is going to be leaving you anyway. And you can package another already major league level left-hander in the package as well. That was a very good trade, in my opinion. I happen to agree with you. Now, the Liriano one is going to be debated, I think, for years to come. Obviously, the Pittsburgh Pirates did not like what they saw in Liriano. That slider is absolutely ineffective this year. And, look, you get what you can, but I still think it was a little bit of an overpay in sending Harold Ramirez and Reese McGuire over there for, in my opinion, an unexciting starting pitching possibility in Drew Hutchison. But that one's going to have to be afforded some patience before we can see how much Hutchison can actually do for the team.
I felt that was a move to make a move. In other words, he's not doing well. We're making a move. And it could have been Drew Hutchison and a sack of potatoes, but that's what they did.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it. They just had their fill of Liriano. They've seen what they needed to see. Obviously didn't think that they could get value back, the rest of this year and going into next year on that $13.9 million contract for next year. So, you look at the system. We mentioned how stacked the team was at certain positions. They obviously felt that Reese McGuire and Harold Ramirez were luxury pieces. That can be debated, but no matter what, that's still an overpay just to unload it on the salary.
Yeah. Hey, always great to talk with you, Jason, whether here or in the press box. Thanks for taking out some time.
You got it. Thanks for having me. Have a good week.
Greg Pickle will come up in the next half hour. Our thanks to Jason Rawlson. A little baseball talk. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Great to have you with us. Great Friday to you. It's, the suit is marveling in the Olympics. And nothing's happened yet. The opening ceremonies are tonight. And Do I really need a history of Brazil?
No.
Right? Now, the good part of the opening ceremonies is when they athletes march in behind their flag and they light the cauldron. All the other stuff is mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, the light of the cauldron, they usually keep that very, very tight-lipped as to who will be doing that. So now they got to go to plan B.
It will not be Pelé. Pelé is the one I think that everyone assumed would do it. Pelé is ill, cannot do it. Or as some people say, Peel. No, I'm just kidding. Great Pelé. So that's not going to happen. But I don't need a history. Like, remember the at Sochi? It was like a history of Russia. I'm like going, I don't want to watch this. Like, just light the thing. Let's get going here. And I can hear it now. It's all part of the pageantry.
It is, but
it's part of the pageantry that makes it really exciting.
But what else you want to do on a Friday night?
Like, I got a long list, man. Before I get to that, I got a long list.
You got bags to pack. Come on.
I got a long list before I sit there and go, before I think about that.
Giselle Bündchen will be part of the ceremony tonight.
Of course. Now I might watch. How about that?
What she's doing, though, is kind of controversial. It's starting to getting some buzz. The content's kind of different.
She deflating a volleyball? I don't know what. Oh, you got to admit that was pretty good.
I thought it was great.
I thought that was pretty quick.
What was really good last Sunday night, ABC, they've revamped. They've brought back Match Game and the $100,000 pyramid, and yeah. Michael Strahan hosts the show. Well, last Sunday night, I think the contestant was going for $50,000, and the final category at the top was Things You Deflate. And Strahan, the contestant didn't get it right, and Strahan goes there and goes, a New England Patriots football. And he got it right away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All you needed.
Yeah. So maybe that's what she's doing. She's deflating a volleyball today. I don't know. She's doing something controversial.
Yeah, the context of the performance that she is going to be acting or involved in has some sexual connotations in it that can be deemed maybe controversial.
Oh, I thought because she was going head-to-head with Bridget Moynihan on Blue Bloods tonight. Maybe that was... And for the uninitiated, I will explain the joke. It's always bad when you have to explain the joke.
I know. You want to go there?
No, but I'll do it. Okay. Gisele Bündchen's married to Tom Brady. Tom Brady was with Bridget Moynihan, who stars on Blue Bloods, for many years. In fact, Tom Brady's oldest son is the son of Bridget Moynihan. Okay.
All clear. Done. You betcha.
All clear. But just when you thought I only did one thing or knew about one thing.
I never thought of that at all.
Pop culture.
Come on.
It's about the experience, the pageantry. I mean, every 4 years. Oh, for 4 years I listened to that. The suit. Look, they're going to have people bidding for now, this is going to be the last live Olympics for 8 years. Do you realize that? The last live Olympics for 8 years that we will be able to watch TV and have the event live in our country. Michael Phelps goes in the pool to win a gold medal. It will be live. There's only a two-hour time difference. They're 2 hours ahead of us. So right now, it's approaching 6 o'clock in Rio de Janeiro. Okay. So they can schedule a lot of this stuff in prime time live. You want them to race at 10 o'clock at night, it's 8 o'clock in the east. Right. 7 o'clock central time. So you can manipulate the schedule to do whatever to show it live in the U.S., which is paying, by the way, the bulk of the TV money. The next three Olympiads, South Korea winter, Tokyo summer, Beijing winter, no. This will be the last Olympiad for 8 years where you'll get to see events live. It's a shame. Yeah, it's a fact. I mean, time zones and things like that. I understand that. NBC also likes packaging the games, too. I think they feel safer the way they package it. Because, look, let's be honest with you. Okay? Let's take the diving competition. We usually see a couple of U.S. divers and the top five or six creme de la creme. Okay? The other 30 that are doing cannonballs, we don't see. Okay? All right? Just so you know. So maybe showing it live is like... maybe putting it on tape has its merits. We've been able to edit out all the other stuff.
It wasn't a cannonball, but I had a mean can opener back in the day.
Frankly, I am not surprised. All right, Greg Pickle, PennLive.com and the Patriot News next half hour. Charles Davis from Fox Sports joins us in the final half hour. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Imports, Domestics, Microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day, wine coolers, and the pickle bar is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. and I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Greg Pickle next half hour.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.